At this time, we would have a special, but because we've had the lengthy baby introductions and all that, we're going to jump right into the message. And so if you have your Bible today, open to Genesis chapter. Well, actually do this. Turn to John 16 and put a piece of paper or a ribbon or something there. Brother Tom, we need some help here with the sound this morning. It needs to go back to a normal Sunday morning setting. And we got too much, I don't know what it is, but help us with that. John chapter 16, and just put something in there. We're going to get there in a little bit. And where we're going to start is Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. So John chapter 16 and then Genesis chapter 3 is where we will begin this morning, all right? So if you have your Bible, if you don't have the Bible, just follow along. These are not difficult verses to pay attention to. And we would normally stand and all of that, but just for sake of time, because I'm actually going to try to preach here in about 20 minutes, okay? And I believe we can get this done if the Lord will help us. I want you to look at chapter 3, Genesis. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I want to speak this morning on the emotions of birth. The emotions of birth. Now, Father, we stop for just a moment here because we've had a lot going on in the service. It's all been wonderful and enjoyable and just a blessing. Now, Lord, we want to settle in for a few moments here, a little shorter time than normal, and I want to be cognizant of the time today. So I pray that you'll help me, and I pray that you'll help all of us to give attention to your word. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener, so that your will may be done in our hearts this morning. And we'll thank you, God, for your good grace and help. In Jesus' name, amen. There is not a male on earth who can begin to describe the pain of childbirth. Fellas, don't go there. All right? Some say that a kidney stone is the closest thing to childbirth pains that a man can experience. I've never had a kidney stone, so I have nothing with which to use as a possible comparison. I did watch as my wife delivered 6 children over a number of years into our family. One was, pay attention, easier. I'm using that word, not saying it was easy. Was easier. One birth was easier than the other 5. The last one was not at all easy. We kind of thought maybe that one would go fast, number 6. And that last birth probably caused me the most anxiety as I watched my wife, who was older at that time, suffer through that, the birth of that sixth child. An emotion connected to birth is sorrow. Travail, okay? But that's not the only emotion. Did you notice the countenances of those that the parents that brought their little newborn children in? I was up here. As we look out, Joyce and me smiles just about on everybody's face when those babies were introduced to the church family. So that's the joy of bearing children. The emotions of childbirth include both sorrow, parenthesis, travail, and joy. Now, let me say a couple of things about these emotions this morning. Somebody, by the way, somebody once said, I wouldn't take $1 million for any of my kids, but I wouldn't take a dime for another one, all right? And I suppose if you've had multiple, that's how you feel. Now, let me say this, number one, this morning. I'm actually going to just not even include the first part of the message. There is much sorrow in childbirth for the mother. It says in verse 16, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now he's speaking to Eve. Okay? He's speaking to Eve. So God told Eve it would be through much sorrow that she would conceive and bring forth children. In fact, in verse 16, it says that her sorrow would be greatly multiplied. Did you see that? I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. That is why women have a very uncomfortable time every month. That's all related to the reproductive system that God made the woman with in the original creation, okay? There's an uncomfortable period of time. And then the actual birth itself, again, is very painful and difficult. All right? Isaiah chapter 13 and verse number 8. Don't turn there. Isaiah speaks about the day of the Lord as a day when, I'm quoting now, listen to this, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Now, what is God talking about there? Who is the they? Take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, like a woman in childbirth. Well, that day is when the Lord, I'm quoting again from the same chapter, will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. So in the Bible, the sorrow that accompanies that day, the day of the Lord, the time of God's judgment on this earth, that day is likened to the sorrow a woman has in delivering a child. Sorrow in the case of pain and travail. And you ladies that have birthed children know what I'm talking about. Now, both the sorrow that a woman feels in birth and the sorrow the unsaved will feel in the judgment is the result of sin. Sin is so awful. This curse in chapter 3, verse number 16, takes place after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And sin is so awful, and its curse is so horrible, it's just horrible, that one of the curses of sin on the woman was that it would be, she'd birth babies in all kinds of sorrow and travail as far as her body goes and the pain that goes with it. And those sorrows would be multiplied, and so every time, that's how it is for the female gender. Now, you know, we say we want the Lord to come and take us home. And we look for that blessed hope. When Jesus comes and the dead in Christ are raised up and those which are alive and remain are caught up together, we should look forward to that day. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Please do come. Okay. But people, listen very carefully. When Jesus does come, it's going to begin a time of great sorrow and travail on earth. It's a 7-year time period known as the tribulation. The tribulation judgments are horrible. They're ecological. They are physical. They're horrible. It's the execution of God's wrath on those who have rejected Christ. And you can read about those judgments throughout the book of Revelation. It's horrible. In one judgment, 25% of the world's population dies. In another judgment, 33% of the world's population died. You say, why is that? It's because of sin. It's part of the curse of sin. The sorrow and travail of those days, the tribulation period, is likened to the sorrow and travail of childbirth as far as pain and sorrow, and all of that is because of the curse of sin. Sorrow is an emotion that results, that is experienced in childbirth. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? So that's obvious. There's much sorrow in childbirth for the mother. But then I want to say this, folks. Great joy replaces sorrow as soon as the child is born. Now, had you hold your place in John 16, look there with me if you held your place there, and look at verse number 21. Here Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about his death, his burial, his resurrection, and he says in verse number 21, he uses the woman's birth, a birth of a child, to teach something. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow. Are you there? 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. Her hour's come. We might not be here next Sunday because Cherith is going to have a baby any day, and she texted this morning and said, Things seem to already be set in motion. Her hour is coming. Right? Okay. Hopefully, Brianna, she'll make it to the hospital. because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, you ladies who've birthed babies can testify to the reality of this. When your hour comes, I remember being with one of our children and the spouse when the time of delivery came and we got the kids to watch, and as they were leaving, the woman was controlled, but there were some tears gathering in her eyes, and I think it's because, you know, she's had previous children and they know that what about they're about to go through, not necessarily enjoyable. When it comes to birthing a child, there's a lot of sorrow. That's what he said in the first part of the verse. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour has come away. But as soon as she is delivered, Jesus said that when the baby is born, as soon as the baby is born, joy replaces sorrow. Now, I would guess that there is, and I've never birthed a baby, so I'm speculating, but I would guess that there is great relief when the baby is born. For the most part, the labor is ended. For the most part. And the discomfort of that last month of pregnancy. There's a boy in college up here in Providence from Panama, from Brother Abe Hansen's church, Anthony Smith. He spent a month in Panama over Christmas, and he just got back for classes this Thursday. And I said, how's Cherith and I? They're doing good. I said, is Cherith big? He went, whoa. So, you know, you ladies that have babies, you carry around that, what is it, 7 pounds, 6.5, 7. Jessica Heyman, how many pounds did you and Natalie carry around with those twins? I mean, and now they're delivered, and I'm not saying pain's over. Who am I to know? I don't know. But there's relief, and that's wonderful. But that's not what brings joy. What brings joy is that little precious gift of life that has two eyes and two ears and a nose and a mouth, and the moms count the fingers and they count the toes. And this is not a doll. This is a human. A little bitty human. Your baby. What joy. What joy. And the joy that is experienced doesn't do away with the travail and the sorrow that's already taken place. It's already happened. So there's been travail and there's been sorrow in the birth of the child, but as soon as that little life is put in your hands, the joy takes the place of the sorrow. And I would imagine that every mother in this room, unless you've had the unfortunate experience of birthing a stillborn baby, I would imagine that you understand what this means. Sorrow and the travail and the agony and the pain, and then smiles. The emotions of birth. Now, I've been talking about the emotions of physical birth. But that's not the only birth talked about in the Bible. There's the spiritual birth. Don't turn to that. Listen to these verses. I got to finish. Luke 15:7 and 15:10. I say unto you that likewise, now watch this, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What's Jesus saying? He's saying that when a person on earth, any person on earth, when any human being on earth is born into the family of God, there's great rejoicing in heaven. There's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But now, wait a minute. Preceding that great joy in heaven, there was great travail and sorrow. Matthew chapter 26, verses 37 and 38, speaking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. As Jesus neared the time when he would become sin, as he neared that time when he would become sin on the cross, it caused him great sorrow and great travail. The sorrow was so intense that it caused him to sweat great drops of blood. The medical world calls this hematidrosis. It's when the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing the sweat glands to bleed. It happens very rarely, but it's because of extreme physical or emotional stress. And at this point in time in the garden, Jesus has not entered into the physical stress of the crucifixion. That's coming. I'll tell you what he has entered into. He's entered into the emotional stress of becoming sin for us. Isaiah 53, verse 11, the Bible says, he, God, shall see the travail of his, Jesus' soul. Why was Jesus' soul in such travail? I don't think it was because he feared being punished for his own sin, because he was sinless. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It was the punishment that he would receive for our sin that caused that pressure, that intense travail that resulted in sweat drops of blood coming out of his pores. Oh, the sorrow and travail that Jesus Christ endured so that any person on earth could be born into God's family, could be saved. And as painful as childbirth is, ladies, no woman has ever suffered as much travail to physically birth a child as Jesus suffered so that you and I could be born into God's family. Not even close. Not even close. Righteous, holy, perfect, sinless Jesus became sin for us so that we might become righteous in him. That would cost him in his relationship with his Father. As that judgment on the cross, on our sin, the judgment for our sin, as that reached its pinnacle at noon, everything went dark. The lights of heaven shut down for 3 hours. In the middle of the day. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cries, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I've never preached or taught from this pulpit some of the things that I've been pondering and reading, and I can't get to the bottom of it yet. Maybe I will sometime. I don't think, maybe there's some that do. I would say for most of us, myself included, I've never really maybe grasped and understood what happened on that cross so that we could be saved. Jesus said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That serpent on that brass pole in the wilderness, a serpent in the Bible is always a picture of the devil. I don't know what happened on that cross. I know whatever it was. I'm like the songwriter. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Are you there? You with me this morning? What happened? What happened to the lovely Son of God who became sin? Did he die a sinner? I know he also died as the Son of God, because 3 days and three nights later, he came out of that tomb. I'm just saying, folks, the day I got saved, the day you got saved, it sent off a party of rejoicing in heaven. Because that's one of the emotions of birth. Joy. But don't forget, travail is an emotion of birth as well. You and I don't travail, but he did. He did. It does not matter what age, ethnicity, or gender. Each time a person is born again, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. I remember seeing the joy on my wife's face each time she gave birth to a child. It was the same for number six as it was for number one. Joy replaced sorrow, but both emotions were a part of birth. And I wonder, this is speculation, not Bible doctrine, because I can't take you to a verse, but I just wonder, speculation, if every time a sinner is saved and there's joy in heaven, the Father and the Son remember the travail and sorrow of Christ's death. But that is quickly turned into joy because a person gets saved. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir, a sinner is saved. Saved from the fire, no more in darkness. He's received my son. All heaven rejoices. That's the value of one. But before there was joy, there was great travail. And that was Jesus who took it for us. I just have been overwhelmed thinking about this truth this week. I tell you, it's almost moved me to tears more times than I can tell you. It's made me stop and say, Lord, you did this for me? For me. Now look, if you've never been saved, Jesus died for you. Amen. Like he died for everybody else. Amen. He's already gone through the travail and the sorrow. And if you trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it's going to bring great joy. Amen. Because that's the emotions of birth. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. I pray that you'd please help us now. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Going through the travail of his cross, the cross, his soul, so that we might be saved. Father, if there is a person of any age, gender, or ethnicity in this room today who's not saved, please, oh God, I pray that your Spirit will draw them to Christ before it's too late. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Wonder who would be here today. Nobody's looking. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. There's been the day when I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I may not remember the exact day and time, but I know there was a time, a place when I did trust the Lord Jesus, acknowledge I was a sinner and I was saved, and I have that sweet assurance. Can I see your hand if that's you this morning? Just uplifted hand, that's me. I know I'm saved. All right, thank you. Take your hands down. Now, is there one here today who would say, but Brother Angel, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And if Jesus did all that so that I could be saved, I'm not sure. I want to know more about it. I need to know about this. Can I see your hand if that's you this morning? Anybody here today? God bless you. Somebody else. Not sure I'm saved. All right. While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'd like for somebody to show you, step out if you would, please. Just come right down here and ask my wife, right here, Joyce, just to take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Give some time. In fact, Joyce, why don't you slide over here to this bench. Take her with you. Right over here. Wonderful. All right. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. This is not about becoming a Baptist or a church member or anything. This is what Jesus did. He went through a travail of his soul so that people could be saved. Are you saved? Take a moment and think about it. Do you know that? And if you're saved and you're thankful, you know, maybe today, just thinking and reliving a little bit about what you've already known about the travail of the cross, if you feel like just expressing your gratitude to the Lord, that's what the altar will be open for just a moment. And if you're not saved, you can come. Still, we have time for you to come tell one of these men, I'm not sure I'm saved. If you need to be baptized, you come. We'll get you set up for that. And let the Lord work in your heart. Father, bless the time of invitation. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. A great plan of salvation. Let's stand together. Our heads bowed and eyes are closed. Just a brief invitation time. Would you come today? Obey the Lord. Church family, next time we serve the Lord's Supper here and you're tempted to kind of sit and think about other things going on in life, remember this today. Give some thought to the travail, the sorrow, the agony that Jesus went through so there could be joy when one is saved. That's why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. This do ye in remembrance of me. His body, his blood. Don't ever get over it. It ought to put a knot in your throat and a tear in the corner of your eye to think about it. Aren't you thankful this morning? Aren't you thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ?